everything is exposed. We look at the trumpets this morning. We're going to take four of those. And the reason is why we take all four together. They are, according to the Bible, in such rapid succession. That means one angel blows a trumpet. The minute it hits earth, the other angel blows a trumpet. The minute that hits, immediately another trumpet is blown. When that hits, immediately another trumpet is blown. And in chapter 8, if you carefully read with me this morning, you're going to find out there are four trumpets mentioned in there. The other three, the remaining three trumpets, will be found in chapter 9. When you study the book of Revelation, there's always kind of a balance which we have to keep. And people get kind of nervous. Sometimes during the week, some people ask me and say, how long are you going to be in Revelation? I say, until Jesus comes back. That's a long time. No, as long as it takes. How many of you know the book of Revelation is not a book to be afraid of, but it's a book to be excited about it? As a matter of fact, you learned in the first chapter, blessed are those who read and understand this book. So this is the only book the Bible tells us there's a blessing attached to it when we're studying it. So we try to really get into the depth of the understanding and getting the knowledge of what God is communicating to us. Okay, now let's go to chapter 8. We covered all the way till verse 6. Now we're going to go to verse 7 and finish it out. The first angel sounded, and hail and fire followed, mingled with blood, and they were thrown to the earth. And a third of the trees were burned up, and all green grass was burned up. Then the second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood, and a third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. Then the third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. And the name of the star is Wormwood, and a third of the waters became wormwood, and many men died from the water because it was made bitter. Then the fourth angel sounded, and a third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that at a third of them were darkened, and a third of the day did not shine, and likewise the night. And I looked, and I heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, because of the remaining blasts of the trumpet of the three angels who are about to sound. Before we get into the details, let me remind you of a few things. A lot of people believe that when we die, when we leave this earth, we're going up to heaven, and then each one of us gets assigned a little cloud. And then we float up there in the cloud, and obviously most of you know you get a harp assigned to you to be played, you know. And so you go to the heavens and you just play the harp. Some of you have to practice now because you're not good in music, but you'll get there. No, let me tell you something. There's no such thing. Okay, that may be good when you go into a Catholic cathedral and you look up to the ceiling and you see clouds and little angels, you know, like we got some wings, you know, and it's not happening. As a matter of fact, there's another segment that is not as hilarious as we are floating on little clouds with a harp in our hands. It's, well, I tell you what, God has given us the power and the authority to take over the world. And so we are going to establish the kingdom for him. And when everything is said and done, we invite him to come. That's also a false teaching. There's no such thing. I'm always wondering why people ever come up with this idea that we should set up everything here and then Jesus comes back. Listen, my friends, let's face it. All of us know that as a fact. And you can say amen when I'm done with the statement. You and I have plenty of problems to keep ourselves straightened out. Amen. Forget about the whole world around us. So let's just focus on the things which God tells us. There is no such thing that this earth will ever get better by the infusion of whatever we claim into this world, especially not in the political arena. For that, it takes the Son of God to come back and set up his kingdom. And the way he ordained it to happen is what man normally doesn't like. And that is, I'm going to change everything necessary for him to come down here. He's going to change it. And the book of Revelation tells us how he's going to change it. And how many of you know we don't learn unless we get kind of slapped? That's the way we learn. Well, the trumpet blasts are going to introduce to this world things which the world is not liking, but has no power against it. So, I hope you got that. I'm not so sure. I don't like to preach to dead people. Let the dead bury the dead, Jesus said. So how many of you know this is the most exciting thing we are witnessing? First we're studying, and when it happens, we get excited about it. Because God is preparing this world for his kingdom to physically return to this earth. And coming back to your little cloud, which you already made an arrangement to get, let me tell you, when we come back with Jesus to this earth, we will rule and reign for 1,000 years on this earth. However, and that's the good news, and I give you that up front because they're going to hit you afterwards. This body which you have right now is full of sickness and diseases. How many of you know that? It was not intended that way to be when God started out. Sin introduced that. People always ask me the question, Pastor, why did this happen? Why did so-and-so get sick? They loved the Lord, and yet they got sick. Because sin entered into this world. Not necessarily that you sinned that you're sick, but sin entered this world and rules this world, and this body will have to die. This body cannot get into the new kingdom. This body here will not, the way it is, rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. We need to die to this in this body and then get a resurrected body, a glorified body, just like Jesus has. And with that glorified body, you can never get sick, you never can diminish, and there's nothing that would hinder you to fulfill what God wants you to do. With that body, you're going to rule and reign for 1,000 years. That's why we study the book of Revelation. You got that? Okay. Well, some of you didn't get it. You got that? Okay, I want to make sure you got it. That's the whole purpose why we study. So don't get nervous about the book of Revelation. Don't get fearful what you hear, what the world has to say, or maybe what they say will happen and it will not happen. As a matter of fact, I have to remind you constantly when we go to the book of Revelation, God has not given us a spirit of fear. You got that? If I would not be born again and I don't know Jesus, yes, I would be fearful, and rightly so. But as Christians, as born-again believers, there is nothing to fear. God has given us a spirit of love, of power, and of a sound mind. There is nothing to fear. Does this world going to come to an end? Yes, it will. Does a part of me? No. And the closer we get, the more excited I'm getting, because look up, Jesus said, when all these things are happening, your redemption draws near. It's very close. So when things are going to start falling apart, get a little bit excited. Donnie, why did you look at me like this? So careful. Okay. You don't have to be scared. You'll be over at my house anyway when food is necessary. So don't worry about it. We'll take care of you. So God will first bring judgment upon this earth. And what does he do, and how does he do it? The very creation, this earth is God's creation, by the way. The very creation he made, he will use to bring judgment upon the people who are inhabiting this earth. The first four trumpets are dealing with that. Why does God use the earth? Well, you know, especially here in America, in the Western culture as a whole, you know, we celebrate Mother Earth, don't we? Hopefully not you. You know, people don't care about going on Sunday to church. Could be any day for that matter during the week. But they don't care to go to church and listen to the Word of God. We had to celebrate Earth Day. Ever heard that? That means we're worshiping Earth. But God has never created the earth to be worshipped, but to be enjoyed by those who love him. Okay? So I want you not to celebrate those things, but celebrate Christ Jesus. Go with me to Romans chapter 1, and I tell you why God uses these four trumpets to bring about what he said he will do before he returns. Romans chapter 1, we begin in verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and all unrighteousness of man who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. Stop right there. Every human being on this planet knows that God created this earth. Everybody knows it. It's in them. The question is, why are they fighting so hard on saying it evolved over billions of years? You know, we came once with six legs and we recognized we don't need all six, so we got on four. And then eventually we recognized we don't need four. We can actually stand on two. Well, some of you can't. But anyway, that's the evolutionary process. Well, bologna. You know what bologna is? That's an Italian sausage. Just in case you didn't know. Do you know where it's coming from? From Bologna. That's an Italian city. That's why we have bologna. And if you slice it, thin or thick, it's still bologna. That's what evolution is. Okay? So I give you the truth this morning because the Bible says God manifested it in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation, in verse 20, of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in what? In the thinking, in the thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. I always wondered why we call them professors. But that's besides the point. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wow. Now, for the sake of simplicity, let me summarize what Paul's saying there. There is a time coming when people are more concerned about rainforests, global warming, endangered species, spotted owls, whales, California condors, the trees, than spiritual well-being of the human beings. Do you think we have entered that era? Absolutely, we have. People worship Mother Nature, which, my friend, is idolatry. While it is true that man has failed in his responsibility, which God gave them at the beginning, to properly care for God's creation, let me say, trying to compensate for that irresponsibility and that failure, and then to turn it around with worshiping the creation instead of the Creator, in my opinion, is absolute nonsense. But we're pushing it hard, don't we? Now, I'm not going to make any political statements if you're waiting for them, because that's a task of the politicians. Just don't listen to them. Because God will step in one day and he will set the record straight. The day is at hand, believe me, when God will end man's destructive and rebellious ways on this earth. He wrote it in his book. He will overthrow the usurper, Satan, and all his helpers. He will annihilate the present world system. He will get rid of it. Praise God for that. And then when that is all done, he will establish his kingdom, and the Lord Jesus comes and is not going to have an election. Does that surprise you? He's the king, supreme, anointed, preordained, kings are not being elected. So, having set the record straight, let's look at the first trumpet, verse 7. Trumpet 1, it will unleash an inferno on this land. If you look at the trumpet 1 and then trumpet 2, you will recognize that the first trumpet is dealing with land. Interestingly enough, John does not mention anything about people that are being killed during that process. He's only dealing with that which man is worshiping right now. Look at verse 7. And hail and fire followed that trumpet. Hail and fire followed, mingled with blood, and they were thrown to the earth, and a third of the trees were burned up, and all green grass was burned up. Okay. Doesn't take a genius or a big scientist to figure out what's going on here. Somehow, God with the first trumpet will unleash such a tremendous earthquake on this planet. By the way, there will increase in intensity and in frequency as we sit here. Jesus predicted it that way. And when that earthquake happens, that earthquake will trigger the pressure on all the volcanoes on this earth, and they will start releasing. How many of you know if you put enough pressure on something, it has to release somewhere? The volcanoes will do that. Well, volcanoes are not a little, steam openings. These are hell on earth if they're going to get released. That's what they are. Hot magma will come through the earth and will turn into lava the minute it hits oxygen, and it will burn up everything in its path. It doesn't matter where it is. When it happens, a third of all trees will burn up. How God is going to do it, I don't know. But he said one third of every tree on the planet will be burned up. You probably know that there's a ring of fire going around the world. Correct? You knew that? Yeah, and somewhere the pressure will give. And wherever it blows, it blows. As we're sitting here, there are over 50 volcanoes active in the world right now. And every day new ones are opening up. Right now. Especially in South America right now. Aren't you glad you're not living there? Hold on for a second. We got the biggest one on this planet. The biggest opening on this planet is not too far from us. Yellowstone. They all say when this thing goes, you and I are going to see our maker in a hurry. Praise God. How many of you want to hang up? No. When this thing blows, we just go to be with the Lord and wait until he gives us the resurrected body. We'll come back to something much nicer. You say, but I don't want to be here. I think I'm going to go to Europe. Well, there they got them too. You know, it will blow. There's nowhere to hide. Do you know that? When I was a little boy, I think I was second grade, and my hometown where I was born, not grown up, but born in Sarnen, there's one of the most beautiful church, Catholic church. And on top, there was St. Peter standing. And I'm saying there was St. Peter standing. Right in the middle of the facade. I mean, a beautiful big statue. And in the 60s, we had an earthquake, just a small little guy, you know, just enough to shake our nerves. But when we went to church, Peter couldn't make it. He came down. And it was a disaster for the people. They were crying. Peter came down. You know? It was just an earthquake. Well, there was just a small one. When we went to California, I recognized we had a little bit of bigger one. I was there when there was a little bigger one. But that's nothing compared to what Jesus is preparing here. When these things are blowing, one third of every tree will burn up and all the grass. Now, let me explain to you. That depends on the season, on where they blow. Not all the grass is going to be burned up. All the grass that is green grass at that time. How many of you know grass is dormant? In Australia, they got green grass at a different time than we have. So when the Bible says all green grass is going to be burned up, that means that thing is blowing where the grass is green at that time and will burn it all. This is why you can find out in chapter 9, all of a sudden, there's grass again. Well, the focus is somewhere else, if the grass was not green. So when you read the book of Revelation, you need to understand when God speaks those things, Look at nature which he has created and find out why does he talk the way he does and what does he tell us. So the result, one third of the trees. Let me tell you something. People say when one third of the trees in the world are dying, we have no oxygen. Wrong. Trees have something to do with oxygen, but what do you know about where our oxygen which we breathe comes really from? Oh man, I lost all the scientists. Where are you guys? What produces over 80% of all the oxygen which we get? What? Plants? No. What? The ocean. I've got one smart guy here. It's the ocean, absolutely. Once God touches the ocean, we are in big trouble. We all need breathing machines. This third of the tree is not going to be a big one when it comes to oxygen, but it will be a sign that things are rapidly going downhill. When the first trumpet blows, everybody should have their eyes open, going, wow, because the second one is right on its heel. So one third is going to be destroyed, and believe me, we will not celebrate Earth Day then. That's going to be a thing of the past. The minute we have recuperated from that, the second trumpet hits, verses 8 and 9. Then the second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and the third of the sea became blood, and the third of the living creatures in the sea died, and the third of the ships were destroyed. I told you the first trumpet will deal with earth. The second trumpet will deal with the ocean. And it is here where things become problematic. What do you think God is explaining to us here, what's happening here? What do you think? Well, he will definitely destroy a third of all sea living creatures. The judgment of that trumpet, John observes, is brought about by a great mountain. It's a great burning rock falling into the ocean. Okay? First, remember, all the oceans are interconnected with one another. Okay? So these waterways are all interconnected. How many have ever thrown a rock into a nice little shiny flat surface lake? And then what happened? Oh, all these ripples, and they didn't go just one way. They went everywhere, correct? So when this thing is going to hit the ocean, the entire ocean's area will be affected by it, not just a small little area, okay? These oceans, as we learned, produce most of Earth's oxygen to plankton and algae, by the way, just in case you have slept during the science classes, which you had. Which most of you had a window seat anyway. So he thought this is boring. Now you find out it's actually very important. How many of you know oceans are a great blessing to us? How many of you like to eat fish? Ocean creatures? Yeah. If you're not a vegetarian, you probably did so. Great stuff. Do you know the rainstorms and all that stuff that comes in? This moist is actually picked up over the ocean. The jet stream brings it in and eventually dumps it. How many of you like when it's green, like here in Iowa? A little rain, that's good, huh? I'm glad I left California a long time ago. This guy's going to be thirsty. Let me tell you, California is not just thirsty for water. They're thirsty for living water. They just don't know it. When that second trumpet judgment comes, that burning rock, that mountain, is probably a giant meteorite. Could also be an asteroid. If you want to know the difference, you can go and look it up yourself. But what it does is, it's surrounded by flaming gases, you know, when it goes to the atmosphere. When it hits our Earth's atmosphere, there is friction introduced, big time. And the whole world will witness this burning mountain, so it looks like. And I said, the whole world, you said, doesn't it just come down in one place? Yeah, how many of you have ever watched TV? So some of them will see it with your eyes, and others will watch it on TV and YouTube, if they still have connections after that. The whole world will witness it. It's an explosive power, and scientists will tell you, any size, a small size, is more powerful when it hits our atmosphere than an atomic bomb. So we'll do a lot of destructive things. when it hits. A third of all sea creatures die. No wonder the sea turns red. A third of the oceans turned red. That's what it says. And a third of all the ships in the ocean will be destroyed. May I say this? The ships that are sailing at that time will not be affected by it. Because these waves, they are not seen on the surface that much. But whoa, when they get close to shore. And the seabed is going closer and closer, coming up towards the shore. And these water masses will be lifted up and lifted up while you may not see anything a mile out. All of a sudden, you have a 500-foot wall of water coming, and you never saw it coming. If you look it up on the internet, you will find out at any given time in the entire world, about a third of all ships are anchored somewhere, either loading, unloading, or being repaired, or whatever. None of them will survive. They all will go. So those of you who have a sailboat, make sure you're always out there. Never come in, and you will hit the right time. Otherwise, you're going to have problems one day. Needless to say, John is not focusing on that, but how many of you know when waves like this are going to come in, the coastal areas don't look good. It's not prime real estate then. It will be wiped out. There are a lot of islands in the ocean. They're not more than 25, 30 feet out of sea water. I mean, that's all they get. And when you have a 100 or 200 or 300 foot wave coming in, they're all going to swim. There's nothing there. That's what this explosive mountain will do. Then, when we have recuperated or thought we recuperated, John looks and he sees in verses 10 and 11 that the third angel takes his trumpet and he sounds, and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch. And it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. And the name of the star is Wormwood, and a third of the waters became wormwood. And many men died from the water because it was made bitter. Let me explain to you. You say, well, didn't you just say a meteorite or asteroid is going to hit and it's going to go in the ocean, obviously, and it will destroy a third of all the living creatures? And here, there's another guy showing up. Isn't that the same thing pretty much? Not really. Because when John saw a great star falling from heaven, he didn't see a mountain. Let's go quickly to Luke chapter 21 and see. Maybe Jesus revealed to us something here. Luke 21, verses 25 to 28. And there will be signs in the sun, the moon, and in the stars, Jesus said. And on the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Haven't we just seen that? Men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven will be shaken. Powers of heaven will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. John saw this great star falling from heaven. The Greek word that translated star is astor, which simply means a celestial body. Other than the sun and moon, they have different Greek names. And this is either a meteorite or a comet, because of its fiery tail, according to what John observed. How many of you were around here when the comet Halley was showing up? I was in California there. Some people in Southern California met Halley. They just killed one another, and then they said, we are going to meet up there, and it's a spaceship, and it's going to take us out. How can he be so crazy? You will be amazed what one person who is a very powerful presenter and speaker can do to vulnerable people who don't know the truth. It is unbelievable. These were not dumb people. They were very highly educated people. And that one man was able to seduce them, to believe that. And they all committed suicide so that they can go and join Comet Halley and leave. So be watchful. Unless God confirms what you hear, don't go anywhere. And certainly, never ever try to shorten your life with your own hands, because God has your hand in your life in His hand. None of your business. Chance are the star, the meteorite, or the comet with the fiery tail. This one has different effects. It doesn't go on the earth and it doesn't go in the ocean. Did you recognize that? The great star fall from heaven, burning like a torch. There is that comet. And it fell on a third of the rivers. In other words, when that comet hits the earth atmosphere, it will disintegrate. That's what will happen. It will burn up. This is the reason why when we sent the space shuttle up into the outer space and they had to come back in, we had these big shields on the bottom of the space shuttle. They could kind of reflect the heat. Why? Otherwise, they all would have toasted. When that friction hits, it can disintegrate. One of them did. It didn't disintegrate just like that. When that comet hits, it will disintegrate. However, comets have deadly gases. And when it disintegrates, it will spread that deadly gas that connects itself to the particles, and it will come down to Earth as deadly poison. And John tells us what the result is. He said, a third of the rivers and the springs of waters will be poisoned. It will taste bitter. Wormwood is bitter. There's a lot of stuff out there today, and I may warn you about it. People say these trumpets have already blasted. They go all the way back to the First World War. They say there one blasted, the Second World War was another one. When Chernobyl was blasting its lid off, that was the third trumpet, because Chernobyl means in the Russian language bitter, which they translate wormwood. If you do a real research on it, it's wrong. It introduces a spelling error to make it wormwood. So don't take it. This thing will not poison a few areas. It will poison a third of the rivers, and it will fall on the springs of waters. And the Bible says, and many men died from the water because it was made bitter, because of the poison. He doesn't tell us how many. He just said, everybody who drinks it will probably die. Okay? How many of you know you can live without food, but it's not good to live without water? You got to drink water, and when the water is going to be polluted, a poison in this case, people are going to start wars just to get to water. Well, in certain areas of the world, they're already at war because of water, but it will increase in intensity. So, not unlike what the people saw in Egypt when God said, I am going to let my people go. All the things I just told you with the first three trumpet blasts have already happened in Egypt in a localized area. Okay? Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. Then he went into the wilderness of Shur. And they all were thirsty after 3 days. Remember that story? And then what did they find? Water that was bitter. In the Hebrew language, mara. It was bitter. And then they said, did you come out here to kill us? And here is a little hint what God is giving you and me. If we still should be here on this earth when this happens, how many of you know God has the remedy for us to get our water? How many of you know that? Yeah, absolutely. You can read it in Exodus. Moses goes to God and says, God, these people are ready to kill me. We can't drink the water. It's poison. And God said, Moses, take a stick. The tree, put it in the water. And as he did, what happened? Almost perfect water. What is the message for you and me? If you go to the cross, God will take care of you. That's the whole message right there. It's simple, but very profound. And the water will turn into sweet water and you can drink it. We might, if that would be the case, we might learn how to pray. You know, some of us, I know how our prayers sometimes go. Oh God, I cut my finger. Could you please heal that cut? He said, yeah, put a Band-Aid on it. That's what I did. It will heal. Just take time. How many of you know when it's really tough? We're going to learn to pray. All of a sudden, our prayers become serious, you know? We actually mean what we say, you know? No food? What would you pray for? Another Cadillac? Or what would you pray for? No food. Probably food. And you probably mean that you need some food, you know? Right now, we just pray for all kinds of different things. But you know what? When it gets serious, what do you think of Karen and the mic praying right now? Lord, give us another house? Probably not. Lord, we need your healing power flowing to our bodies because we need to get back on track. When you have a real need, you start praying according to the need. When this water goes bad, the food goes bad, and nothing is around, my friend, we are going to learn to pray, and we are going to learn to pray precisely. I'm going to get to know the God who can provide. This is why his name is Jehovah Jireh, which means the great provider. I tell you, my friends, and I have to insert that, and don't get mad about me, just take it up with God. Our world is being conditioned to look at a government to become the provider. Get rid of that. Do never, ever look to the government for your provider. God is your provider. The government will fail you. God will never fail you. Keep that in mind. We are being conditioned. You know who started all this? Governmental conditions that the government can provide? Read the stories from 1932 all the way till 1943, and you're going to find out what I mean. Hitler did all the things. Do you know how Hitler started out? By being elected by 98% of the population. He didn't come into power as a dictator. 98% of the votes went to Hitler. Because Germany, where Hitler was in it, was thriving. The economy was good. Austria was down in the pit. 50% of the Austrian people were unemployed at that time. They went to a hard time. You say, what does that have to do? I just give you a little bit, a hint where we're heading. Then Hitler said, if Austria is voting for me, we annex it, and we gave all of you work, and we gave all of you social medication. Nobody has to wait for a medical doctor. We all give it to you. He was the first one who introduced national health care. And read the stories. Within 2 years after that, people had to wait for elective surgery 4 to 5 years to get a doctor. We are right around the corner in America on that one, by the way. When we got national health care, I go, oh, my. The American people, they are so dependent on the government, they don't even know what's going on. We're being conditioned and prepared to look at the government as our provider. I can tell you, I can stand up here, if you take government money today, it's going to be 10 times tougher for you to get rid of it. How many of you know once you're on drugs, it's tough to get rid of? So if you're on government subsidies, you maybe should go to the RU program. We kind of wean you off of that. You say, Pastor, I can't make it. Start praying. It's unbelievable what prayer does. It's unbelievable what God can do. What nobody else can do, God can do. You just wait till the fourth trumpet hits. Chapter 8, verse 12. When the fourth angel sounded, a third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them were darkened, and a third of the day did not shine, and likewise the night. You say, no big deal. You know, we got lanterns. You know, if the power goes out, who cares? No, no, my friend. When that trumpet sounds, you have a temperature plunge that puts the world into freezing. Welcome to global warming. We'll be right there. God will say, how warm do you want it? I turn the temperature down. And he will. How many of you know it doesn't take much for the sun to be gone before it gets cold? In Iowa, you know, we have during the day 85 degrees. I love this weather. Don't you love this weather? It's beautiful. You know, 85 during the day, 55, 60 during the night. I can sleep. I mean, it's beautiful. Open your windows and enjoy it. But if the sun is not shining during the day and there's no light coming, you might gonna have a night 40 below, and during the day you're lucky if you get zero. It's the sun who's heating us up. And when there's no sun, it's gonna get cold. You say, well, we can get some blankets at Walmart, you know, that's not a problem. The government maybe has some heating blankets for me. It's not gonna work, my friend, because this is not the issue. The issue is food. How many of you know certain plants do not like freezing temperatures? You got that? There's nothing growing. It dies. If we're gonna have the sun covered and there's no sunlight coming, how many of you know plants love sunlight? If there's nothing there, you're going to have to look for food. That's what God is saying. The fourth trumpet will plunge these temperatures rapidly. And you know what? Once this is done, by the time we come to the 16th chapter, God is turning the temperature up so hot the people are burning alive. You say, why does God do that? Because he said, you are talking global warming, not me. So I want you to have it. And then when the global warming doesn't work, we change the word. Now it's climate change. God said, you want the climate to change? How many of you know God has his finger on that little dial? He turns it down, he turns it up, whenever he pleases. And he's going to give us our medication. In the process, he prepares his world for his son, because he doesn't want any of that stuff to linger. How many of you know God cannot stand idolatry? And obviously what we're doing is idolatry when we worship the sun, when we worship the stars, when we worship the moon. God says, well, I use it for a while for you to see how good that God works for you. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 13. You say, well, you know, Pastor, you're just reading into it whatever you want. You just like to scare us half to death. And then at the end, you just say, well, God is good. Okay, go home. No, I try to prepare you. Isaiah chapter 13. Therefore, I will shake the heavens. God is speaking here. And the earth will move out of her place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts and in the day of his fierce anger. It shall be as the hunted gazelle and as a sheep that no man takes up. Every man will turn to his own people, and everyone will flee to his own land. Everyone who is found will be thrust through, and everyone who is captured will fall by the sword. How many of you would say, that doesn't sound too good? And why does he do that? Let's go to 9 and let's read why he does it. He said, behold, the day of the Lord comes, cruel with both wrath and fierce anger. They lay hold, the land is desolate, and he will destroy its sinners from it. That's why. People always say, well, God hates the sin, but he loves the sinner. I have a question for you. How many of you would say that's a fantastic theological talk? God hates the sin, but loves the sinner. Is that statement true? Let me, be quiet. She's too long around me, you know, she knows. Let me explain something to you. Since when does the Bible tell us that God will separate the sin from the sinner? He doesn't. The cross does that. Jesus Christ does that. If you didn't go to the cross and you're not found in Jesus, my friend, the sin is with you. And the penalty thereof, the wages of sin is death. We can't change that. So don't take these cliches, you know, God hates the sin but loves the sinner. He already showed his love. In God, John chapter 3, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but shall have everlasting life. He's done it. It's done. It's man's decision to stay in it and fall under that judgment or come out of it. God showed his love. When it's done, my friend, there's only one thing, that's the wrath of God. And he will do the land, makes it desolate. And look at verse 10. The stars of heaven and the constellations will not give their light. The sun will be darkened in its going forth, and the moon will not cause its light to shine. God makes sure that we understand that the sun will still be in its orbit, the moon will still be in its orbit, but it can't give its light. How many of you know when earthquakes, volcanoes, and meteorites are coming to this earth, there's going to be a lot of dust in the earth atmosphere. And it will darken everything. Those of you who maybe have been or seen on TV when Mount St. Helens blew up years ago. How many of you still remember? Some of you are way too young, you were not even born. But when it blew up, it got so dark up there that people wanted to move out of the area just to get sunlight. It gets pitch dark. And obviously it's tough to live under such circumstances. Yeah, God will do it. He said so. And it's not just John who saw it. Isaiah saw it. Go with me to Ezekiel. He's another basket case. Verse 32. That guy had nothing good to say. You know what? Ezekiel was under severe circumstances. He's one of those guys who was when Nebuchadnezzar came to Israel and plundered it all and just destroyed the land. And God spoke to him and spoke to him and said, you know, Ezekiel, you think you got it tough? Let me show you what I'm going to do before my son comes back. Let me show you. And in verse 30, in chapter 32, verses 7 and 8, this is what he says. When I put out your light, I will cover the heavens and make it stars dark. I will cover the sun. And here he gives us the answer. With what? With a cloud. That simply means there's something between us and the sun. And the moon shall not give her light. All the bright lights of the heavens I will make dark over you and bring darkness upon your land, says the Lord God. You say, well, Ezekiel had a bad day. Okay, let's go to Joel. There's another guy who had a bad day. Let's read Joel. Another prophet. That's way back in the Old Testament. They all saw the same thing. In chapter 2, verse 10, he says, the earth quakes before them, the heavens tremble, the sun and moon grow dark, and the stars diminish their brightness. The Lord gives voice before his army, for his camp is very great. For strong is the one who executes his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Who can endure it? Listen. Joel gives us a little bit more insight. He said, God has a whole army in the heavens to make these things all happen. This is a spiritual battle here. And when we go to trumpet 5 and 6, you're going to find out we're not dealing with the earth or with the sea. We're going to deal with demonic forces. A woe to the inhabitants when they're going to be unleashed. It will be like in the days of Noah, Jesus said. Not good. But until that, Joel goes on to say in verse 30, same chapter. And I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. By the way, it's not talking about the blood moons here. Just that you know. This is the result of volcanoes and comets hitting the earth, where the atmosphere is filled with smoke and dirt, and the moon just seems like blood red. Obviously, it's a color. In that terrible day, that's when God starts preparing the return of his son. Then when everything is done with these four trumpets, heaven does not sing hallelujah. Have you recognized that? They don't start worshiping God like in the former chapters. Look what what goes on in the end of chapter 8. And I looked. John was obviously mesmerized with all the things he saw. He said, I looked and I heard an angel flying to the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe. Anytime you go into the Bible and you find woe, it's judgment. Anytime. And he says it three times. Why? How many trumpets are left? Three of them. To the inhabitants of the earth. This is not a good translation, by the way. If you go in the original and you read it, it doesn't say the inhabitants of the earth. It actually literally means those who live in the world, which makes it entirely different. How many of you know we live in the world, but we don't live like the world? We are not of it. This is an indication that the woes of the three trumpets are not meant for God's people at all. Only those who live according to the flesh, the world. But we live according to the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. We don't live according to the world, do we? We are living in it, but we are not of it. This is a direct connection to those earthlings who are living like the worldling. Not you and me. Isn't that good news? So these woes do not belong to you and me, because it's going to be for those worldlings who, by the way, the Bible says, after all these things come upon this earth, refuse to repent, refuse to acknowledge that this is God, yet they know it, it's God. The hearts will stop the fear so much, but they wouldn't change. Isn't that amazing? It's like a child who never wants to learn no matter what you do. So God says, I will finish the job. When he's all done, this world will not look the same like it looks today. As a matter of fact, when we go on, in the book of Revelation, you're going to find out there's not a skyscraper left when God is done. And all the works of man's hands will be done. He takes it out. Well, in America, that's not a big deal. You know, with these 2x4 sticks, you can get them down in a hurry, which we call mansions, you know. They burn up just like that. Maybe in Europe, a little bit different. You know, the houses stand for 1,000 years on solid count. God will take care of that too. Why? Why is God taking care of it that way? Could you imagine God starting his kingdom, a man would go and say, God, let me show you my house I lived in. I built this. Really? How many of you know it's not going to happen in the kingdom of God? The house which he built is going to be there. The one he built. That's you and me. That's the church. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you. Thank you for revealing to us what you have shown John as he heard those trumpet blasts, as he watched with his own eyes the results of those blasts, and how you change things in this world. Lord, this morning we just want to thank you for having called us by name to you, our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And if there's anyone in here, Lord, who has not committed themselves, may today be the day of their salvation. May today they say, Lord, I want to be under your protection. I want you be my provider. I want you to be my healer, my redeemer, my savior. Because there's no other safety net anywhere to be found. Lord, we thank you for revealing that to us today. May every step we take through this world reminds us that we can take it because of you, your great mercy, your great love, your power given to us by your Holy Spirit, so we can be in this world, be a shining light in this darkened world, so we may bring glory and honor to you. In Jesus' name we pray. All God's people can say, amen. Amen.